All right, here we go. Carson Wentz and a day to forget against the Seahawks. So the Eagles quarterback finished with two interceptions and two lost fumbles. And to make matters worse, he suffered an injury to his throwing hand. X-rays were negative, but he will have additional tests to rule out any potential issues. Seahawks win 17-9, the final. Philadelphia now falls to 5-6 on this season. Here's Carson Wentz after the game.
I have to, you know, be better. I have to lead this team better. I got to protect the football better. We can't put it on the ground the way we did. And it starts with me. It starts with me, and I'm frustrated. I know everyone's frustrated with this loss offensively. I mean, like I said, turning the ball over starts with me. I got to be better, and we will be.
Nick, is it starting to look like Carson Wentz isn't quite the quarterback that Philadelphia thought he was?
And he certainly isn't the quarterback I thought he was. And I tried to dive into this last night and this morning because I'm like, how could he look so good 2 years ago and look so average last year and bad this year? And what I realized was even 2 years ago, the only thing he did special were raw touchdown passes. His completion percentage was below league average. His yards per attempt was right at league average. His yards per game were around league average. But he had 33 touchdown passes in 13 games to only 7 interceptions, which is what was putting him in the driver's seat for MVP. But since then, his yards per attempt have gone down even further. His completion percentage right now is 21st in football. His yards per attempt are 30th. His passer rating is 20th. And yesterday was a perfect example of some of the issues with the Eagles' offense right now, most notably with Carson Wentz. Seattle did not play that well offensively. Seattle got one touchdown early, and then from that moment on, Philadelphia had 7 possessions before Seattle got in the end zone again on the long run by Rashad Penny. 7 possessions with a chance to tie or take the lead. And here's what they did. Carson Wentz fumble, Carson Wentz pick, 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, Carson Wentz fumble, and a 5-play, 11-yard drive that led to a punt. And then Seattle said, okay, if you're not going to take it, we, I guess, will. Rashad Penny goes for 60, and the game's essentially over at 17-3. The question I would have for folks, and again, I appear to have been very wrong on Carson Wentz. What does he do that's special? What is the thing that Carson Wentz does where you're like, wow, he's top 5 at that in the NFL? Because Bart, his MVP season, or his near MVP season, it was making plays off schedule.
Okay.
But in today's NFL, with Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes and those guys and Russell, Carson Wentz is good at making plays off schedule, but he's no longer elite at that because the rest of the league's gotten better at it. So what does Carson Wentz do that's special? I can't find the thing right now, which to me is very surprising given how good I thought he was just 12 games ago.
I think what we're looking at is a team that's run out of moves, right? They've been one of the most active franchises in the past in bringing in and acquiring talent, bringing in talent. They go out, they bring Deshaun Jackson back. Yep. You know, they make the trade a couple years ago for Alshon Jeffries, and they always was acquiring talent. But I just feel like they're out of moves. They didn't have a move this season before the trade deadline. They lost Darren Sproles. You know, they lost a lot of talented players. J.J., he left. They brought him back. And you look at, you know, you're talking about his yards per attempt. Yeah, 7 yards, what'd you say, 7 yards?
His yards per attempt right now are about 6.5 yards per
attempt. Like 6.5.
30th in the NFL.
And most of those receptions go to who?
Tight ends.
Right, Zach Ertz, right? Zach Ertz, again, 3 games with 9 or more receptions. So you're not going to have a lot of, you know yards, you know, per attempt isn't going to be up that way because he has no receivers.
Short passes.
Yeah, all short passes, he has no receivers. Who's he throwing the ball to? You talk about the drops of his receivers. You talk about the inability of the receivers to get open. I think he is an elite talent. I just think that he's not surrounded around talent. Once again, another team that's linked to Antonio Brown because they understand that he
right.
doesn't have any talent around him. So he's carrying this football team, and this offensive line is getting older. And, you know, they're a little bit – this is their last chance. This is their last chance. And then they're out of the window because he's paid and they're going to lose a lot of talented players. They've had, you know, injuries on the back end. You know, you talk about Rashad Penny, what he was able to do. That's controlling the line of scrimmage. He had a career day. And, you know, the turnovers is because he's out of desperation trying to make plays off schedule, but he doesn't have anybody to be open. Just remember, we were just talking about Nelson Aguilar being trolled by the kid that was catching babies out of a building. And the first thing that he went to is the fact that Nelson Aguilar can't catch. No elite players at that end. So how does he score? How does he has to manufacture everything. Too much on his shoulders.
But yesterday he was missing 3 wide receivers. He was missing a running back. He was missing 2 offensive linemen. Could you say that maybe injuries have plagued this season?
Of course injuries have played a part of it, but then don't turn the ball over four times. Like, if you're going to have to play...
What does that mean? He's trying to do too much?
Whatever he's trying to do, it ain't working. and if you know you're going to have to play a game right. that 13 points might win, then... And by the way, I understand Seattle ended up scoring 17, but that was after all of the turnovers. Then... Your number one job is take care of the football because this was one of Russell Wilson's worst games of the year.
Yeah.
Seattle, even the running game, the numbers look great because Rashad Penny popped that big one for 60 right, yards. Yeah. But that was after Philadelphia had chance after chance to win this game. But I don't want to put it all on Carson Wentz. There was also, to me, a moment at the end of the game that was odd. And you speak to this from a defensive player. Tell me if I'm reading too much into it. They're down 17-3 in the fourth quarter, and I am all for celebrations. I'm all for celebrating when you do something successful. I'm not the guy that gets mad at that. But when Philadelphia has been bad all year in a game that they have to have and they're losing at home, and you're down 17-3 and you pick off Russell Wilson with 8 minutes left in the game, and you do the team photo in the end zone,
yeah.
that to me is a bit of an indictment on Doug Peterson. And I know we've said, oh, Philly's the fun team.
Right.
Well, that was maybe a little too much fun in the wrong circumstances. Do you think I'm wrong
No, absolutely.
There?
I mean, you celebrate the interception because you're happy that you made a big play and potentially get your team back in it. But as far as the team photo, you know, I think that's the most overdone thing right now in sports. They find the camera, they go and they do their own team celebration that they've been practicing on. If they've been doing a little bit more practicing, maybe they wouldn't be getting hit, smashed, mouth in the mouth.
Well, and it's a bad photo because the photo I see is the screenshot from the actual broadcast, which shows all the Eagles celebrating. And it says on the bottom score, Seattle 17, PHI 3 yeah. with 8.5 minutes left. It's like the hell's going on here. And so I just, Philly right now, the best thing Philly has going for it is that they're in the NFC East. And the best thing the Cowboys have going for it is they're in the NFC East. Mm-hmm. And Philly, by the way, Philly still might make the playoffs.
Oh, I'm picking them to win to win a division.
Because of who they have left on their schedule. But it won't be a long playoff life for whoever comes out of this division.
Meanwhile, lost in the Philly mess, the Seattle Seahawks are undefeated on the road yeah. so far this year. They are playing tremendously. Ravens, as Nick would say, mollywop the Rams 45-6 to win their seventh straight game. Here's Lamar Jackson after his career night.
I'm trying to win the Super Bowl, and we taking the game at a time. I'm not worried about MVP, you know. If it come, it come. I'll be satisfied, but I'm trying to win the Super Bowl. That's a team award, and that's what I want.
You know what, Nick, a lot of guys stand up at the podium and maybe you believe them, maybe you don't. I actually believe him. I believe that he's so zone focused on just winning the Super Bowl this year. But are you surprised Lamar is this good in year two?
I'm surprised, and I think you have to be surprised. And I was a believer in Lamar Jackson. I was someone that thought some of the pre-draft noise around him was unfair and that as you saw that he might fall out of the first round entirely, I found myself saying, what are teams doing? This is a guy who, with the right coaching, with the right development, by his third year in the league, can be a legitimate starting quarterback. That's what I thought. Well, by his second year in the league, he's going to be the league MVP. So, yeah, I'm surprised. Almost all year long at the quarter pole, at the halfway mark, 10 days ago I said, Russell Wilson's your league MVP. Lamar has been gaining ground. Russell just had, even though they won, one of his worst games of the year. Lamar is playing a stretch of football right now that you can put up against any month any quarterback has ever played in the history of the league. Lamar's now taking the lead. So in the MVP race, he right now is the most dangerous player in the league. From what he showed you he can do with his arms last night, what he's shown you he can do with his legs all year. And so, yes, I'm surprised, and I believed in him. The folks out there that were saying that he was either a flash in the pan or wouldn't work in the NFL, they're not surprised by this. They're just dead wrong on him. But I feel like I was one of Lamar's biggest proponents coming out of Louisville, and I did not see anything close to this coming, certainly not this early.
You were a believer. Did you ever think MVP?
No.
Like, in his whole career?
No.
You said it right. You can't help but be surprised. After what I saw last year in the playoffs against the Chargers, okay, when he had two completions, 17 yards passing in the first half, and they were the only team to see him twice, I didn't think, I was questioning whether or not he'd be a long-term starter in this league because that's how bad it was. I know he came back in the second half, fourth quarter with two touchdowns, but they were playing prevent. It was over. So I thought teams had figured him out. If you see him twice, you're going to figure him out. And the passing. I mean, he completed, what, 58% of his passes last year. Wasn't that accurate. I just didn't know that he would be able to improve this much as a passer. So I am stunned. My question with him was more so his health. Like, could you run that often in the NFL and stay upright? And so I knew he could be successful momentarily.
If he's healthy, right.
But
sure.
I didn't think you'd stay healthy.
But what real quick on the health thing, that's still a concern.
Yeah, we still don't know the answer.
Every game is going to be a
concern. But what he is showing is that if something at some point happens to his athleticism, either due to injury or age, he is showing that he has the ability, is the building blocks of a guy who can beat you without having to run the way he is. Because just a month ago, it would have been, a more fair question, Jenna. How effective can he be without running? Weeks 3 through 7, he wasn't that great passing the football. Had 4 touchdowns, 5 picks, had a 75 rating. Now, one of those games was a game against Seattle where he was brilliant running the football. Another game against Cincinnati, he's brilliant running the football. But it was more this hybrid Mike Vick 2.0. But since then, the last 4 weeks, he has 13 touchdowns passing, 0 interceptions. He has a 142 quarterback rating. Perfect is 158.3. And in addition to that, he's rushed for 300 yards. What he's done over the last month, basically from the middle of October to now, is put it all together for a team that also, team-wise, they added Marcus Peters. He's playing like the Kansas City version of Marcus Peters. The rest of their secondary got healthier. They're playing more like Baltimore Ravens defense, which is why right now, this moment, they look like the best team in the league.
So I was going to say the same thing. You know that if he does get hurt, which is very possible the way he plays, unlike sometimes with Cam Newton or Michael Vick, you know that he can rely on that arm, which you've seen the last couple of weeks. And if you listen to some of what the Rams had to say after the game, it was almost as if they went up against someone the likes of which they'd never seen before. His speed surprised them, his versatility, the way he moves the ball. It's like they prepared for him, but they didn't really understand it until they saw it. Up close and sort of in real time. What is the ceiling for Lamar Jackson, Chris?
Hall of Fame. One of the all-time greats. There's no question about it. Look, obviously he has the talent. As you talked about the throwing improving. Obviously he's got the running game. And he has the intangibles. It's rare to see that combination of physical ability and talent and the intangibles. The way his teammates and coaches talk about him, that shows you he doesn't, and let's be honest, at the podium, he doesn't look like a great leader. He doesn't sound like a great leader, but he says all the right things, and the way his teammates rally around him, even last year in the playoff game, when fans were chanting Joe Flacco and all that, that upset a lot of his teammates. John Harbaugh stuck with him. I was saying go to Flacco because you got to throw the ball to get back in it. He stuck with Lamar, and that shows that this guy has the intangibles. We know he works hard because he's improved his passing, but I think his ceiling is the Hall of Fame. And look, if you're running the way he is, I don't think you're going to have a long career if he stays upright. Cam Newton has played essentially 8 seasons. This is his 9th. And he's twice as big as Lamar. And you see the hits, the toll that the hits have taken on him. So this may be a situation where running like this, you might have 6, 7 great years like this. He has shown the ability, maybe by then he can transition to almost strictly a passer. But even if he doesn't, if you get 10 years of this.
Well, that's the thing is, at this point, like great. Longevity can be overrated in this regard. Peyton Manning was obscenely healthy his entire career in Indy until he had the neck surgery. He won 1 Super Bowl. Yeah. You know, Drew Brees has been wildly healthy. He's won 1 Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers hasn't been as healthy. He's won. What if they win the Super Bowl this year?
Right.
Then who cares about what it looks like in 2026 if they win a Super Bowl or even get to one this season? Special athletes, they reach their ceiling much quicker than we expect. You know when LeBron reached his ceiling? Right around year 2. Like, now he developed further. He got the playoff reps. But look at his numbers in year 2 and compare him to anything else. Numbers. Luka Doncic. He will never be better than he is right now. It's almost impossible. Now, the question is, how long can you maintain it, do it in the big moments? Lamar's ceiling is what we're watching. He'll never be better than this. You can't be better than this.
He can improve his passing.
Well, I mean, over the last month, he's 13 touchdowns, 75% passing, and 9 yards per attempt. Like, maybe he can make it look better, but he can't be more effective than he is right now. And in fact, what I think, Patrick Mahomes, to keep it in football, he'll never be better than he was in year two. The question is, can you maintain it? When the league starts to get more information on you, when your athleticism wanes, when you have a bad injury luck for your teammates around you, can you maintain it? So I think we're watching the ceiling. And Hall of Fame or not, a lot of that does have to do with longevity. A lot of that does have to do with injury luck, these types of things. But we are watching a guy who, at his age, he's younger than Joe Burrow, who's going to be the number one pick of the draft, who, at his age, is the most dangerous player in the league, and they can win the Super Bowl right now. To me, all the rest is almost noise. Like, I don't know what he looks like in 2024. I don't know what the world looks like in 2024. I know in 2019, Baltimore would, there might be two quarterbacks in the whole league they would swap him out for, and they wouldn't feel great about it.
And the most important thing, right now, the Ravens have tied their best record since 2012, the year they won the Super Bowl.
Right. Exactly. And by the way, if the Patriots slip up one time, the road to the Super Bowl could go through Baltimore.
Yes, it can.
Because they have that head-to-head tiebreaker.
Lamar Jackson is 22 years old, which sometimes when you think about everything he's done,
makes you feel like, it makes me feel like a bit of a failure.
LeBron James sprinting down the floor to deny DeJounte Murray with a vintage chase down block.
And the Spurs were whining after this, saying it was in the cylinder. No, it wasn't.
It wasn't. You're right.
You just got a dude in year 17 in the middle of November saying, I'm going to go full speed and go chase you down.
I love it. I can't believe the naysayers. Oh, he's playing too hard. What are you supposed to do?
Take time
play
off, guys. It's the cool new thing.
All right, let's stick with this game.
Okay, if we have to.
For your prime performance, sponsored by Whole Foods Market. Color the classics this holiday. And LeBron James showcasing that you're right, Nick. Even in year 17, he can still carry his team. The King finishing with 33 points, including 12 in the fourth quarter, to go along with 14 assists as the Lakers extend their win streak to 8 games. Here's LeBron after the win.
It's weird. I don't know. Every time I tell you guys that this is the best I felt, you guys kind of get like all right. And then I go out and I'm able to do what I do. But that's how I feel, man. I feel my spring, my like I said, my quick twitch, my mind is sharp. My body is good. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Maybe the wine I'm drinking. I keep drinking some more if I'm going to keep doing this.
Or every once in a while, don't make the playoffs, have a bunch of extra months to rest, get your body right, and come back out and do this in year 17. Nick, you surprised by LeBron's output at this point in his career?
I got to admit it, much like with Lamar. I'm a little surprised.
Really?
I'm surprised.
I'm shocked that you're surprised.
Him or by the team record?
Both. I thought the Lakers would get out to a fast start because the schedule was soft early and they had to get out to a fast start. And I thought LeBron would remind people that he's still the best player in basketball. I did not think he would be playing every game. I did not think he'd be top 6 in the NBA in minutes per game and total minutes. And I did not think he would, like this, seamlessly reinvent himself as the best point guard in basketball. We've heard over multiple years, LeBron's going to start doing this differently. He's going to, and then every year it's like, no, he's going to just do what he's always done. He's playing a different brand of basketball this year. Still wildly effective, but he's never been this much of a distributor with this type of basketball team. And I'm also surprised he is caring this much on the defensive end. There was a moment last night where he missed a free throw, which is, it's right now, it's his kryptonite. It's in his head.
Well, it has been.
It has been those really ever. A few years ago, he had fixed it because he was lane violating on every free throw. They then stopped letting him do it, and since then, it's been in his head. But the possession after he missed the free throw, Lakers were up 10 or 11 points midway through the fourth quarter. LeBron got in. Remember, like, the Wojo kid from Duke, that low defensive stance when he'd slap the floor?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
LeBron got in that defensive stance 35 feet from the basket. Like, I'm going to make up for it here. That surprised me as well. Because I what I've said about LeBron Broussard is, much like Tom Brady during the regular season decided I'm not taking hits, LeBron, I justified it in years past. During the regular season is saying I have to rest on the court at some point. I will be around defensively in the playoffs. But the Lakers are the best defensive team in basketball. Anthony Davis is the biggest factor of that. But LeBron's a close second. So those things do surprise me, even though he's the guy that I've been saying is the greatest player of all time.
I would like to think that LeBron saw my Instagram post in the preseason.
I believe he did.
I said, look, these are the three things LeBron needs to do to win a championship with the Lakers this year. Play point guard. Obviously, he's doing that. Be engaged and focused defensively. I didn't think he could be this good defensively at this stage of his career, but just be engaged, be focused, communicate. He's gone beyond that. And the third thing, no drama. I mean, usually at this point in the season, we have seen drama, especially LeBron's first time somewhere. Back to Cleveland with Kyrie the first year. In Miami the first year, you saw drama. LeBron has been great. And look, I'm not surprised because I picked the Lakers. Everything within me was essentially telling me, pick the Clippers. And I'm telling you, as good as the Lakers look, for a guy that picked them, the Clippers scare me. They are legit. Forget their record. They are tough. They've beaten, you know, Boston, Houston.
They beat the Lakers in the first game.
They've beaten all the good teams in the league. Toronto, everybody except Milwaukee. And so they're scary. But I picked the Lakers solely, you know, they've got good supporting cast and AD. But I figured LeBron would come out with a vengeance. I figured he had at least one more bullet in the holster or in the gun, and that he was going to unload it this season. Look, there was every reason to do it. You know, they're writing you off. You're not the best player in the world anymore.
Washed king.
You're 35 years old. Right, all that. He obviously heard it. Here's the interesting thing that many people may not have thought about. Jordan, the summer that he spent filming Space Jam, he was in essentially the same situation. Remember, the year before he had come back from baseball, Nick Anderson stole the ball from him in the playoffs. They get eliminated by Orlando in the second round.
Real quick, just for young people watching, I know the NBA has burnt the tapes, but that did happen. Michael Jordan lost in the playoffs.
I knew you.
In the middle of those six championships,
was say
there
that.
Was a year he played and they lost. We don't ever talk about it.
I don't count that year.
Of course, nobody counts that year. Anyone Chris Broussard generation or older, they pretend that year didn't count. But go ahead.
Almost did not bring up
because
this great
of that.
Anecdote.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead. So they get knocked out, then he's filming Space Jam.
He's filming Space Jam. He, you know, again, people writing him off. He's no Nick Anderson said, 23 was great, but 45, the number he wore, he comes back out. They win 72, go 72-10, begin another three-peat. This is similar. Obviously, he's compared to Jordan the most. And this is ironically similar at this point.
Can I just devil's advocate for a second? No one thinks he's coming out too fast, too hard, both offense and defense, doing it all, making sure he's getting the – no one's worried that this is going to last maybe another 20 games and then he's going to have to take a long breather?
I would be worried with any other athlete ever this side of maybe Karl Malone. Karl Malone showed an ability to play 80-plus games, 35-plus minutes, and was indestructible until the very end.
Right.
The other reason I'm not concerned, Jenna, is what you said in the beginning. I know you were saying it a little tongue-in-cheek, but it is absolutely right. LeBron played 55 basketball games between June of 2018 and October of 2019. That had to feel like someone who hasn't gotten a vacation from work in 3 years getting 2 weeks off. Like maybe to someone who takes 2 weeks off every summer, doesn't feel that great. But for someone who's been grinding for 3 years, it feels like 3 months off. What LeBron was able to do for his body because of the injury and the missed playoffs, it to me was so much better than if he had drugged that Lakers team to the playoffs last year. What he did his last year in Cleveland was important to me for his legacy. Last year in Cleveland, Kyrie's gone. People are writing us off. I will play all 82. I will lead the league in minutes. I will drag this motley crew to the NBA Finals. 7 games in the first round. 7 games in the conference finals. 51-9-9 in game 1 of the finals before I break my hand in frustration and it all falls apart. But that was the culmination of 8 consecutive years where he played in the first game of the year and the last game of the year. It was not, even LeBron was going to need some type of break. He didn't mean to get it last year, but he got it. Now, I don't think he's going to play all 82 this year, but I think he's going to play at least 76. I think there's going to be only a handful of games he sits out. And, I mean, they do have the best record in basketball. But if they had one more loss, they wouldn't. And so, like, all of these, no matter what the Clippers tell you, all these games actually do matter. So, no, I think LeBron's doing exactly what the team needs to do.
I asked his agent, Rich Paul, about this just last week, and he said, look, LeBron feels better when he's playing. He wants to play. And, you know, there are some guys like that. You mentioned Karl Malone. His 17th year, he averaged, 38 minutes a game. Kobe, in his 17th year, 38 minutes a game. Now, he got hurt. Late,
popped his
like
Achilles at the end
games,
of the year,
right.
And it was over.
Yes, but they averaged 38 at that point. Here's what we can't do. We can't let Kawhi Leonard's low management become the norm and make us feel like a guy that plays 75 to 80 games is doing something wrong.
Correct.
You know, I mean, if Kawhi wasn't low managing, or that just wasn't even an issue, you know, say that he didn't exist and we didn't think about low management, I think we'd be looking at LeBron saying he's playing a career low 35 minutes. He is kind of dialing it back. We cannot let low management become the norm.
And people will say, well, before Kawhi, it was Duncan with the Spurs. Look at Duncan's career the very, very end. He was playing 74 games minimum.
80 games several years.
But even when they were like, oh, he's load managing, when the NBA got in trouble for it a few years ago, Duncan was still playing 74, 75 games a year. What once was load managing was, once every 3.5 weeks, I might take a game off. Not once every 3.5 games. Now, Kawhi has turned it into that. And, like, the guys who were the two biggest load managers last year, Kawhi and Embiid, both had injury issues that you understood it. I don't understand it quite as much with Kawhi this year. But Giannis, LeBron, Harden, part of their greatness is I'm showing up to work every night and my team can rely on me. And so, no, for normal athletes, yeah, it might be something. Not for this guy.
Last segment, we talked about Lamar doing all that at age 22. LeBron's doing all this. He turns 35 in a couple of weeks. Talk about same production on both of these. Cowboys coming in looking to silence the doubters after a week of turmoil surrounding Jason Garrett. They did themselves exactly zero favors. Dak had 355 yards on 49 attempts. He threw 2 touchdowns, but also threw a pick.
Tight.
And he lost a fumble. Meanwhile, Zeke tied a season low. Only 12 carries. So what does it all mean for Jason Garrett? Here's Jerry Jones.
I know Jason very well. I've had a wonderful opportunity to spend a football life with him. So I know him very well. And you know, without a doubt, you've seen it. Nobody wants it to go. And I'm going to tell you this right now. He's got my back, too. This is not the time. For me, I'm looking ahead at another ball game, and I'm looking ahead at winning 4 or 5 straight, and helping write a story that they'll talk about how it looked like you were down and out and got it done. I mean that. That's the way that I'm operating. Every decision that I make over the next month will be with an eye in mind to get us in the Super Bowl now. And I would normally say you're really smoking something. I normally would say that. But I know the room, and I see the room. And I'm the one that okayed and put the coaches that are in that room in there.
Well, Jerry, if I'm smoking something, you get into contact because you sound like you're hot. What are you talking about? What moves do you have left, bro? Like, it sounded to me like he was reading an obituary. It sounded like he was doing a eulogy for Jason Garrett. So go ahead and listen, it happens to us all. We all get fired. That's the beauty of the game. You know, we all get fired. We all leave. Very few of us walk away from the game. Hell, Peyton Manning got fired. Jason Garrett, you on deck. You don't remember our favorite movie, Life? Walking a mile? You walking a mile.
He was doing a eulogy, but no dead body, because there's not going to be a dead body, at least until after the season with Jason Garrett. But, Nick, as unlikely as it probably is, at this point, do the Cowboys have any chance of recovering from this and making a playoff run?
No.
They very easily could come out of the division.
No. They cannot very easily come out of the division anymore. Not
you
anymore.
You see Mitch Trubisky?
No. Not anymore. Like, I'm glad you mentioned Mitch Trubisky. They're in Chicago next week.
Like Josh Allen.
Why would a game in Chicago go drastically differently than the game at home against Buffalo when those two teams are so similar.
Yeah.
Now, the Bills have been more buttoned up this year. They've been better. But stylistically, excellent defenses, limited quarterbacks that are better probably runners than throwers of the football,
yeah,
who occasionally can have really good games if they have a lot of time. Now, Josh Allen's better than Trubisky, but that's a very low bar to clear.
Right.
But that game's in Chicago as opposed to at home in Dallas. Like, it's over for the Cowboys. They are more likely to finish this season below 500 than they are to go on any type of playoff run.
This is the must win right here.
Well, of course it's a must
win. This is the must.
But I would argue yesterday was a must win.
I would too.
Yeah.
They are at Chicago, home for the Rams at Philly. So Chicago will, I don't think they'll be a favorite in that game, but it'll be close as far as the point spread goes.
Field goal kicking is horrible.
The Rams don't have an athletic quarterback, but again, a team that's going to have to rely on their defense, ask their quarterback not to make mistakes, and then a Philly team that has been better than Dallas this year. I know Dallas beat Philly. Philly's done something Dallas has shown no ability to do. You know what Philly did?
Beat Green Bay.
They beat, exactly right. They beat Green Bay, and if I'm not mistaken, they also beat Buffalo. the Cowboys, no, it is one thing to say, well, maybe they can sneak in because of the division. Not when you play like this.
Yeah.
And not when you did not take advantage of, early in the season, at the very least, the game. They went 1-3 against the AFC East. They lost that Jets game. At 7-5, they'd still be as bad as they are. But you might say, well, they already beat Philly. There's still a game up on them. They have a margin of error. Philly's about to get to 6-6. Philly's going to beat Miami this weekend. And so to me, Bart, it is, they're not going to fire Jason Garrett, fine, whatever. But no, the Cowboys, you are, through 12 games, you are what we think you are. And what the Cowboys are is an underachieving, talented football team.
And if you fire Jason Garrett, who you're putting there? Kellen Moore? Rod Marinelli? I mean, Kellen Moore remind me of Kyle Shanahan in the Super Bowl. Once Julio catches the ball, game over. But you wanted to gloss up that resume. It looked like he was hearing that, hey, Jason Garrett may be gone. Let me show everybody what I can do. And he got too cute. You know, Zeke, 71 yards on 12 carries. I mean, you keep feeding that man, and you also allow your offensive line and play action and all the things to work. Whenever I see Dak Prescott throwing the ball over 40 times, you know that something went wrong. He's a guy that you have to still keep under control. Yes, he's a talented player, but he's never a guy that you're supposed to let throw the ball that many times.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.